and verse 21, and then chapter 28 and verse 1. And our subject today is both morning and is Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. That will be our theme this morning. And as I said once again this evening, we ask that God would bless as we open his word. We are introduced in the last verse of chapter 27 to Aaron and his sons. These are the men who will minister in the tabernacle, and they will do so on the behalf of the people of Israel. And in verse 21, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons, they shall order it from evening to morning, and they will do so before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Their ministry was on the behalf of all of Israel. Now look at the first verse, chapter 28. And the Lord, he's speaking to Moses. He says to Moses, to take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses, and his sons with him, and take them from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Those are the four sons of Aaron. Of course, they ultimately came from the tribe of Levi. But God, in his sovereign purpose, ordained that these very special men, made special not because of who they were, but by the purpose of God, these five men were to serve Israel in the ministry of the priesthood. Let's ask for God's blessings as we go further into the message this morning. We thank you, our Father, that we have the word of the Lord before us. And Lord, we're fully dependent upon your Spirit to enlighten us and give us an understanding of this, your holy word. Lord, we know that all of your book speaks to us of that one who is your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, our dear Savior. We ask, therefore, that the Spirit of God would enable us to see our Redeemer, our great High Priest, in this portion of Scripture we've read, and in other portions as well. Lord, we're so thankful that we have access to you, and we have one who represents us to you, even our great High Priest, one who is infinitely greater than Aaron, one who is not of the lineage of Aaron, but was made after the order of Melchizedek, a high priest forever. We rejoice in our Savior, and may our thoughts and our hearts be now knit to the Savior, and may we worship him and adore him as we give thanks, O Lord, unto thee, that you in your infinite wisdom and purpose of salvation, you purposed and you ordained that we would have a great representative who would offer unto you the sacrifice that would fully put away our sins, and bring in everlasting righteousness. And he ever lives to make intercession for us, and he represents us even this very moment. He is our advocate. He is himself Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We bless you, Father, as much as we can. Forgive the sinfulness of our worship. Lord, we're feeble, puny beings of the dust. And we drink iniquity like water. How thankful we are that there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would now take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, would you show them unto us. These things we ask upon the basis of the bloody sacrifice of our Savior, and upon the fact that he ever lives in glory. He's our living representative and great high priest. We ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. Israel was blessed of God to have one who spoke for God, Moses. He was indeed the prophet of God, sent to the children of Israel to convey his message to them. But though they had a spokesman for God in their midst, they had no spokesman for themselves unto God. And God, up until the time of the building of the tabernacle, before this, going all the way back to even Adam and Eve and then to Abel, it was the head of the household who led the family in worship as the priest. It was the head of the household who offered to God sacrifices that all pictured the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, as time went on and Israel wound up in Egypt and then in the bondage of Pharaoh, then they, out of their own afflictions, they cried out to God, and God heard them. And God purposed that he would deliver them from their awful dilemma. And so he redeems them by the blood of the Passover lamb. And by his own arm of power, he brings them out of Egyptian bondage and through the Red Sea. And he leads them to Mount Sinai. And there on the mount, God is giving, as we're reading this portion of Scripture this morning, God is giving to Moses the laws pertaining to the tabernacle and to this most necessary office of the priesthood. And he now presents to them, presents to Moses, that Aaron and his sons will constitute the priesthood. Aaron, of course, he's going to be the high priest, and his four sons, they will be the priests. There were other men, of course, that were associated with Levi, of the tribe of Levi, and they will be used in various capacities. And perhaps this evening, as we have time, I'll go into the way that God would use those men. But these men right here, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, these are the men who will represent the people unto God. They will be, as it were, mediators. They will speak to God on behalf of the Israelites. And the other functions, the other duties of the priesthood, they would attend to as they labor on behalf of the children of Israel before God. And really, in that way, they're all a picture of our Lord Jesus, who is the only mediator between us and God. There is only one who can represent us to God. Now, he is most unique because he is not only our great high priest, he is also the very prophet of God. God told to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, I'll raise up a prophet like unto yourself from among the people. And that's our Lord Jesus. He is the Word of God. He is that prophet that God has sent. God has not remained silent. God has spoken. And His final word is His only begotten Son. He's the prophet of God. He gives to us the message of God. And our Lord Jesus is also that king. In the Old Testament, we know there were three offices for which there had to be an anointing: prophet, priest, and king. Our Lord Jesus is the prophet. He's anointed by God to be the prophet, and he was anointed by God to be the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But he is also our great high priest. And this is what we want to stress today. And this is what we're going to be dealing with. Now, I mentioned this briefly last Lord's Day, but for the benefit of those of you who were not here, and also to just kind of refresh the memories of all of us, look again at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother. Take him. This is not a volunteer. It is not, you know, we used to, when I was at camp, and I would speak on Friday night quite often, and I would say, those of you who want to volunteer for full-time Christian service would come down here to the front. And, of course, what I noticed was that most every year the same ones would come down. But this is not a volunteer thing. It's just like nobody volunteers for the ministry. This is a called to office. And the Lord says to Moses, I want you to take Aaron. The word is fetch. Lay hold of him. This is like the irresistible call of the gospel. You call upon Aaron and his sons with him. And then here's this that I wanted, here's something I want to point out to you again. That he may minister unto me. There's such a union between Aaron and his four sons, that is such a union in the priesthood, that they are all considered to be one priesthood. That's indicated by the word he, that he may minister unto me. And then he names five men. But he doesn't say that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, but that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And this should be understood as speaking to us of the union of the Lord Jesus and all of his people. You see, every believer, are you a believer? You rest in the Lord Jesus, his bloody death, that's your only hope. You have no other confidence except the person and work of the Lord Jesus, his blood, his sacrifice, his righteousness. Then you're one of the saved ones, and you're a priest yourself. You don't need to come to me and say, Jim, would you represent me before God? Would you? Now, you may ask me if I'd pray for you, and I'll be glad to do that, but you can pray yourself. You have the opportunity to come into the very presence of God. When the Lord Jesus died, the veil of the temple, it was ripped from the top to the bottom. And the way into God was opened up for all of the true priesthood of God. And we are the priesthood. Read 1 Peter chapter 2 again. We're a holy priesthood unto the Lord. And we can all come to Him. You go to Him now You should be. You should have. When Ron was leading us in prayer, you should have been praying as well. When I prayed a while ago, you should be praying as well, because you are a priest. Isn't that wonderful? You don't need to go to somebody who wears a backward collar and says he's a priest. You go to him and, well, I want to confess my sins to him. No, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You are a priest. You can go to the Father through your great high priest, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come right into the presence of God. My, what a privilege prayer is. Our Lord Jesus, He's our great high priest, and we are the priesthood. And we're one with Him. God joined us to Him before the world ever was. In fact, Ephesians 1 says we were chosen in Him. Chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. We're one with Him, so much so that when God looks at us, He sees us in His Son. The perfections of our Savior, the righteousness of our Savior, the obedience of our Savior, when God looks at us, that's what He sees. He sees His Son. So there is here a blessed union with our Lord Jesus Christ, united to Him in old eternity. And hear the words of Solomon. Solomon said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, He doeth it forever. Forever. Well, how long have we been joined to our Lord Jesus? Forever. We've always been one with Him. Nothing can be added to it, Solomon says, or anything taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Let men fuss as much as they want to about salvation being altogether of grace, and they insist that man should have a part, man's will, man's work, man's contribution. We dismiss all of that as error. We bow to the Word of God. We believe salvation is of the Lord. And this eternal salvation is of the Lord. And God in grace and in mercy joined us to His Son in Christ Jesus. That's why we're safe. That's why we're very secure. That's why this salvation that has been revealed to us in Christ Jesus by the Spirit of God, that's the reason we will never lose it. We're united to the Savior forever. Here's a sinner united to the Savior. Nothing can break that bond that God has brought about. We're His forever. And so here in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1, we read of Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. All of them together constituted the priesthood. Now, we know that the office of the priesthood was laboring on the behalf of Israel. Just as our Lord Jesus, He labored on the behalf of a chosen people. That is God's true Israel. Well, that being the case, both with national Israel and, of course, with spiritual Israel, with Christ Jesus being the head of the church, let's take a little bit of time to consider the duties of the priesthood. And really, I think we can boil them all down to they have threefold duty. Number one, they offered sacrifices unto the Lord. You see, the offering of sacrifices, bringing an animal and killing it, and then the shedding of the blood, the priest putting it up on the altar and moving it about on the fire and so forth. That wasn't just a religious ritual. That wasn't just an empty action that had no meaning. It wasn't just according to tradition. You know, so much that's done in religion today is, well, that's the way we've always done. Yeah. And if you watch on television, in a religious service, they'll stand, they'll kneel, they'll pray, they'll raise their hand, they'll do all of these things. And you say, well, why do you do all those things? Well, it's the way we've always done them. Well, this was not an empty religious ritual that they went through. It certainly was not a random thing that God ordained for them to do. This was vital. This was necessary. This was important. For there was no coming unto God. There was no coming near to the Lord except by the shedding of blood and death. There had to be blood shed. There had to be death. The Lord had said to Adam, and we read in Genesis the second chapter, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when Adam ate of the fruit that God forbid him to eat, he died. He died spiritually. And he would have died forever, except that God showed him, God illustrated the gospel in killing innocent victims in his stead. Offering unto himself, our God did, he offered unto himself the life of innocence on the behalf of two lives who were guilty. That's the only reason that they lived. The reason Adam and the woman, whom Adam later named Eve, the only reason that they lived was because God took the life of innocent victims in their stead. When you wanted to worship God, therefore, if you had lived back in these days, you would go to the door of the tabernacle. You would be met by either Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, or Ithamar. One of those four men is going to meet you. Go to the door of the tabernacle and say, I want to worship God. Well, which one of the brothers is free? And whichever one was not working or laboring at that point, he stepped forward. The animal was killed. Blood was shed. That animal, the carcass, was put up on the altar that already had wood up there, and the hot coals had ignited that wood, and there was a roaring fire, and that animal was put up there. That was the job of the priest. You see, if you had lived in that day, you couldn't offer to God sacrifice. God didn't choose you to offer a sacrifice. God didn't appoint you to offer a sacrifice. What God told you to do, if you want to worship me, you bring an animal for a sacrifice, but there's another one who will offer it in your stead. And that's the way God ordained it. Look with me over in Leviticus. Let me show you this in the book of Leviticus. And chapter 1. Look at Leviticus chapter 1. Okay, you want to worship God. So you bring your animal to the door of the tabernacle, that first curtain, that first hanging. And you go, you pull it back, or you go under it, ever how they went through. And there you say, where is the priest? They'd call one of the four sons of Aaron. What can I help you with? I want to worship God. I'm such a sinful man. My family's sinners. We know we deserve to die. But we believe what God has said, that upon the basis of the innocent dying for the guilty, He'll receive us, and that this is a picture of the death of His only begotten Son, who will come into the world at some point in the future. Don't know when, but I believe Him. We're looking to Him. And we bring this animal as a testimony that we believe the gospel of God's substituting grace. Look here in Leviticus, Luke chapter 1. All right, here comes a worshiper. In verse 4, he puts his hand on the head of the burnt offering. I should be the one dying here. And God says, it shall be accepted for him instead of him. That's what it means. Instead of him. To make atonement for him. To make reconciliation for him. And he shall kill the bullock. If he's a wealthy man, he brings a bullock. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests. Well, who are they? Well, we're not left in doubt. Aaron's sons. It's very specific. And the priests, Aaron's sons, they shall bring the blood, sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall flay the burnt offering. He'll cut it in pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priests, Aaron's sons, they shall lay the different parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar, but his inwards and his legs shall be washed in water. The priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. That's the first duty of a priest, is to offer a sacrifice. And you go drop down again. Look at verse 13. Let's say if you bring one of a sheep or a lamb or a goat. Verse 13. Once again, of course, it's to be killed. Priest cuts it in pieces. He washes the inwards and the legs with water. The priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. There's the job of the priest. It's a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. You can't offer the sacrifice to God. You can't be involved in that part of it. Because the priesthood itself is designated as those men who will represent the guilty Israelites in offering to God the sacrifice. And they all picture our Lord Jesus, who wasn't guilty of any of our sins. They were imputed to Him, charged to Him, reckoned to Him, yes. But He Himself was the sinless one. And the offering that He offered up unto God was the offering of Himself. The sacrifice of Himself. You'll notice the last statement of verse 13. The last statement of verse 9 first. It's a sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 13, the last statement of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The last statement of verse 17 of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And we must go to the book, to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and we see how this relates to our Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. You know what the word followers means? Imitators. Imitators of God. As dear children. walk in love as Christ also loved us. Now watch this. Because he now, by the gift of the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul is going to speak to us of what Christ has done for us. Remember, this is what the priesthood did. The priesthood ministered to God on behalf of the people. We had to have a great high priest to minister to God on our behalf. There is no sacrifice, there is no offering that I could possibly bring to God that would ever put away my sins. There's another one who had to do that, and bless his name, he did do that. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. Watch it. As an offering and the sacrifice. Well, so I thought those pretty much meant the same thing. The idea of an offering was, and an offering actually didn't even have to be a blood sacrifice. It didn't have to be a life. It could be a bread or a meal sacrifice. Or I should say a bread offering or a wine offering. The idea is, he brought willingly to God that which God demanded. He brought himself. Here am I, Father. He offered himself to God. Watch it. A sacrifice to God. Now, a sacrifice always involved death. Always involved death. So here is our Lord Jesus. He is the volunteer. He's the one who, willingly goes to the cross to present himself to God a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Take my life. Let these go. If you had come to the door of the tabernacle back in those days, let's say you brought a lamb and you killed it, and then the priest, one of the four sons, he slits the throat, he catches the blood in a basin, he does all of these things that are necessary, and he puts it up on the altar and he burns it all. He did that for you. That's who he did it for. And our Lord Jesus, when he presented himself to God, I'm the sacrifice. Kill me, Father. Let these go. And God put him on the altar. And as it were, the very fire of God's wrath burned in his soul. Not a literal fire, but the fire of God's wrath. And the fire of God's wrath burnt itself out in the bosom of our Savior. And he said, it is finished. He consumed all of the wrath of God. Father, this is for you. This is for you. And I'm doing this on the behalf of my people. My people. So the first duty of our Savior, who offered himself a sacrifice to God, and pay attention to the last phrase of verse 2, for a sweet-smelling savor. What does that mean? It was pleasing to God. What pleases God? The substitutionary death of his son pleased God. His justice was satisfied. His wrath poured out. All of his attributes working together. God said, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. The duty, you see, of Aaron and his four sons was to offer sacrifices. Number two, The duty of Aaron, more specifically, was to burn incense unto the Lord on the behalf of the people every morning and evening. Now go to Exodus chapter 30. Now let me just focus for a bit here on Aaron. In chapter 30. It's interesting to me that God, in giving His instructions to Moses about the tabernacle, He first of all ordains the priesthood. Of course, He's already spoken about the brazen altar where the sacrifices will be offered. And having introduced Aaron, who is the high priest, he now, in chapter 30, he introduces the altar of incense. Because this will be a work specific for Aaron to do. So the first few verses of Exodus chapter 30, we have instructions pertaining to the making of the altar of incense. And then he says in verse 7, and 8. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. Now, what else was done every morning? The offering of a lamb, right? There was the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, and that's important to remember. Every morning, a lamb was sacrificed. Every evening, a lamb was sacrificed. In other words, at 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, on the basis of the sacrifice being presented unto God, incense could be burned. So, verse 7 again, and Aaron shall burn their own sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it, upon the altar of incense. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Now, this also was done for the people. In the holy place, at the golden altar of incense. And the burning of the incense, it pictured the intercessory work of our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who speaks unto God on our behalf. The hot coals were taken off the brazen altar. That fire had burned up the morning sacrifice. And he goes and he takes some of the hot coals with his tongs. He puts them in his censer. He goes back through the first veil into the holy place. And he goes right to the altar of incense. He puts those hot coals on the altar of incense. Red hot. Glowing. And he takes some of the sweet incense. He sprinkles that on the hot coals. And suddenly, there's a delightful fragrance throughout the holy place. You see, the intercessory work of our Lord Jesus, I get this, is based on the fact that he has presented unto God the sacrifice that has put away our sins. That's the very basis of what you might sometimes read the mediatorial work of our Lord Jesus. That is, the work is our mediator. He speaks to God for us. You read again in John chapter 17. This is the great intercessory prayer of our Savior. At least several portions of it are. And the Savior says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I'm not praying for everybody. Listen, if He didn't pray for everybody, He didn't love everybody. If He didn't love everybody, He didn't die for everybody. Get that straight. The ones He prays for are those whom the Father gave Him in the covenant of grace. The ones that He prays for are those for whose sake he's going to the cross of Calvary to satisfy justice on their behalf, dealing with God in a way that we could never do, he will pay the price of redemption. And upon the basis of that sweet savor of his sacrifice to God, he intercedes for us. He prays for us. None could intercede for us but the Savior himself. And the only way he could do it was upon the basis of having died for our sins according to the Scriptures. His intercessory work goes on even this morning. He prays for us. Listen, I want you to pray for me, and I pray for you. But there's somebody else I'm far more interested in praying for me. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Because as he said himself to the Father, I know you always hear me. You always hear me. And whatever he prays for this sinner is going to come to pass. There's no question about it. If I'm smitten with some disease and you say, oh Lord, heal our pastor, that may not be what my great intercessor is praying for me. He may be praying the prayer as it is in John 17, 24? Father, I pray for them that they may be with me, that they may behold my glory. If he prays that, when he prays that for me, I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He's our intercessor. But he represents us every day. He prays for us every day. The intercession of our Savior is indicated by the burning of the incense upon the altar of incense. And it's well pleasing to God because it's based on his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And we know God approved of that because he raised him from the dead and exalted him to the highest heaven. Thirdly, the work of the priesthood. Offer sacrifices, burn incense. Thirdly, the duty of the priesthood was also blessing the people in the name of Jehovah and by God's authority. And I won't take the time to turn to this passage in Genesis chapter 14, but maybe you'll remember after Abraham, he had whipped up on those kings that had taken Lot captive and several of the people of Sodom, the kings and other kings, five kings, very wicked kings. And Abraham got some of his men and he just whipped those guys. He just defeated them all. And as he comes back, a mysterious figure meets him. His name is Melchizedek. He meets him. He brings to him bread and wine, elements of the Lord's Supper. Christ, the bread of life. Wine, the gospel of his grace that makes the heart merry. And he refreshed Abraham. And he blessed him. You read the passage of Scripture there in Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Because you see, Melchizedek, he was a high priest himself. And that's a subject we'll get into later. But for our time's sake, which is kind of evaporating, go to Numbers chapter 6. And whenever we think about the blessings of the Lord, blessings pronounced by the priesthood, we tend to go to this portion of Scripture. And I'll give it to you quickly. And I'll set the scene for you. Right after the vow of the Nazarite had been given, Aaron offered a sacrifice to God, and one of the offerings that he brought was a wave offering or a wave sacrifice. And he waves it to the Lord. In his office as high priest, he waves this to the Lord as indicating, Lord, this is for you. Because ultimately it's what he demanded. This is for you. And upon the basis of presenting that offering unto the Lord, he and his sons were instructed to bless Israel. Look at verse 22. And the Lord, chapter 6 of Numbers, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and say, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless, Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. The Lord Jehovah make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Three times he uses the name Jehovah, Lord in all capitals. Perhaps we could paraphrase it like this. The Lord, that is Jehovah the Father, bless thee. He has, after all, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Jehovah the Father protect you and preserve you and keep you and watch over you. And verse 25, and the Lord Jehovah the Son make his face to shine upon you. We see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Oh, be gracious to me, Son of God. And thirdly, the Lord Jehovah the Spirit lift up his countenance upon thee. May he be always present with you. And that comforter is. The comforter is always present with us. And he's the author of peace. He gives us peace. The Spirit of God gives us the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. What blessings. What blessings are ours in Christ Jesus? And then he says this in verse 27. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I love that last statement. I will bless them. Do you remember when King Balak, he hired Balaam to curse Israel? And when Balak didn't get his money's worth, he goes to Balaam and says, I hired you to curse Israel. He said, I can't curse those people that God has blessed. And I'll tell you what, all of you who are the Lord's people, hear the words of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Spirit. I will bless them. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The blessings are still coming down upon us. And he will yet bless us with all things in our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold then Aaron and his sons, the priesthood, offer sacrifices to God. Our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, he presented himself willingly to the Father a sacrifice. Take me, Father. Let these go. Let them go. And he prays for us. He is our great high priest. We got a representative in heaven. There's a man at the right hand of God. Behold, he's the God-man. He's one like us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And he represents us. And he says to his people, I will bless you. And blessings come every day. You can't be cursed. You're blessed in Christ Jesus, our great high priest. I'll continue this theme tonight, the Lord willing. Let's sing a closing song here. 32. Number 32. And that's Blessed Be the Name. And let's sing, stand together, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Verses 1, 2, and 4. Let's all stand and sing 32, 1, 2, and 4.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.